trumpeting Zion, sounding on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in Zion.
Hey everybody, this is Brother Frank, and welcome to another episode of the Remnant Call. I'm glad to be here with you tonight. Stick with me. I hope this episode will be a blessing unto you, because the topic I'm going to share with you tonight is, I believe, about as relevant as you're going to get at this hour. Father, please bless this program. Forgive me of every sin and failure, Lord, that I've done to upset you, Lord, or that I've reproached your name, or I've given the enemies a reason to scoff because of my behavior. Lord, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, that tonight I would simply be a funnel for your Spirit. Lord, speak in spite of me this evening, that you may be lifted up and glorified. I thank you for this blessing to be able to share the good news. Yeshua, Jesus, is coming again, Father, but you have a work in your people in this hour. I pray we receive it in Jesus, Yeshua's name. Amen. I want to share with you tonight an important word, because it is a season that so many are not only going through, will go through, have gone through, but it is present at this hour. But it hinges around verse you're very familiar with. It's Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is John the Baptist, as you well know, sharing about Jesus who is to come, Yeshua, that is going to come on the scene. He's so incredible that even the very buckle on his shoe, John himself felt and knew that he was completely unworthy. But it was this baptism with the Holy Ghost and with fire that is so often misrepresented and misunderstood. And I want to focus on tonight's message on the fire. I know we often warn about the hour and everything, but tonight I want to talk to the inner man, to the spiritual side, because if we don't get these parts right, you can sit and listen to everything you want about the end time. But to not be ready, to not be prepared, to not allow the Lord to go deep within the spirit man is going to totally be a waste of time in your service by simply watching news clips and listening to podcasts. We need to go deep. I want to focus on the fire. And we've heard a lot of explanations about the fire. You know, I'm on fire for the Lord, being baptized in that burning desire to go forward. And I'm not saying there's not a fire. The Bible talks about that fire within and the bones and this, you know, not being able to contain yourself. Who can help but prophesy? You know, there's just all kinds of words. But in this particular verse, as we get into this message, I want to read the one verse before it to begin to open our eyes so we can understand what the Lord is trying to say. Verse 10 of Matthew chapter 3. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. God is going to prune that which needs to be pruned. There was a group of women came across this really incredible story. There was a group of women who were studying on the book of Malachi. And when they got to chapter 3, they came across the verse which says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And they were puzzled by the verse. They wondered what this statement meant about the character and the nature of God. One of the women offered to go out and find out what this meant by visiting a silversmith to observe the refining process. And so she did that and promised to report back at their next Bible study. That week, the woman called up a silversmith, made an appointment to watch him work. She didn't mention anything about the reason why she had come. Her interest was there simply to observe and to watch and to keep silent while he did his work. But as she watched the silversmith, she noticed that he took the piece of silver and he put it right into the middle of the fire and let it heat up. He started to explain to the lady as she was watching that one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest in order to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she asked the silversmith, based on the verse that they had read, she asked him, is it true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined? Because you remember, she read in Malachi, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. She was curious. The man said, yes, he not only had to sit there holding the silver in place, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver were left for even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent as she was pondering what was going on. Then she asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled at her and answered, oh, that's so easy. When I can see my image in it, I know it is finished. As I was pondering this woman sitting there watching this, thinking about what was going on, to an outsider, this process taking place of dirty, unrefined silver and watching it heat up, and just when you think about it, it's violent. Heat burning out that which is impure. But then out of nowhere, all of a sudden, boom, comes this mirror finished piece of beauty that reflects the very one who held it in his hands the entire time it was in the fire. You got to think, this silversmith had a reputation. He wants his process to bring forth. If you're a jeweler, you want to make sure that your jewelry is the best so that people will come back to you and use as this jeweler was working on it. He wants to make the best piece of silver in the area. And here our Father in heaven, as the great refiner of silver, also wants to make the finest, purest jewelry that reflects his very image. It's us. And he wants to protect his reputation. If you look in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, there's a verse that we read so often. It comes from the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. For so long, so many people, you, myself, others, we grew up thinking, well, we should never curse and swear with the Lord's name or saying GD or whatever and from our mouth. And I, folks, do not do that. That is not a good thing to do. But that is not what this verse means. It's way heavier than that. The word in Hebrew is taken literally. It means to carry when it is looked at in the original language. Go look it up. Scholars have looked at this and understood that the third commandment, what is really saying, is that we are imagers, reflectors of the name, the very character and the reputation of God. We are to carry his image, not in vanity, but in truth. Not as an unrefined piece of silver or gold, but as refined and pure, reflecting our actual Creator. We are the imagers of God, one who reflects his image to others, and not to disgrace, but to reflect the Most High. This brings us back to the verse, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We often talk, brother and sister, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. How we want to be on fire for the Lord, and that is a wonderful thing. And we use it in the context of excited, ready to go out and share the good news. We have a burning desire in our heart, and that is absolutely amazing and wonderful. But this being baptized with the Spirit and with fire is not just about being on fire, red hot for the Lord. It's about a purging and refining process that removes out the world out of the believer and also removes the unbeliever eventually out of this world. As Paul Harvey, as you all remember, he used to say, we need to understand and hear the rest of the story. So this time, I want to read this again, but let's add verse 12 in starting this time. Verse 11, here we go. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now listen, verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This fire, brother and sister, will not only purge the believer of the iniquities and the dross and all the bad, you know, the impurities, but it will also purify the body of Messiah and ultimately will purge and purify this world. Looking back at that silversmith process, think about it. The hotter it got, the more tribulation the silver was put through. The more tribulation it was put through, the more the silver would reflect its image. But if the silversmith was to take his eye off and go too far, the silver would melt. That's why our Heavenly Father is there the entire time watching the process. God allows us to go through tribulations and trials in our life, which many of us, you, me, others, we're suffering right now. Brother Benjamin, Brother David Murray, everybody, we go through these things. He allows his church, his remnant, he allows things to happen that may look to the outside world as not a positive thing. It may sometimes seem to those who are very timid to even be violent. And you look at our lives and we see so many trials. But the truth is, they have no idea, the outsiders, those who don't understand the things of God, that He is preparing us for the things to come, so that in the darkest hours of the earth's history, we may shine the brightest by reflecting His image, that we may shine out when this earth is at its darkest moment. When that silver comes out of the fire, it can't help but reflect the silversmith. The same thing goes for us. We go through the trial and we see God's deliverance and the changing of our character and the molding us into the image that He desires. We can't help but share and shout to the world the good news. Yeshua is coming soon. But when there's no fire, folks, when there's no refining, and the dirt and the stink of this world gets all over the believer, we simply read a word maybe here and there out of the Bible. One of those, maybe a chapter a day. Maybe you go to a church service. You watch a podcast real quick. Or you go sit in a pew somewhere. Criticize others how they're not doing it right or they don't see the end times. But there's no evidence of change in the life. Am I talking to anybody on this episode? God wants us full of the Holy Spirit. But this is a two-part process. And the second part is the one piece we never seem to like. The reason we hate it is because we don't understand it. And the reason behind it often, Well, let's look at what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God is not trying us because he hates us. No, no. He is preparing us as any loving father would do. About 2-3 weeks ago, maybe it was my youngest daughter's birthday. And we decided as a family, she wanted to go out and eat. She picked a place. We all went. My oldest daughter came and my son-in-law and my grandson came and we were all there together. And my grandson, he is his pawpaw's best buddy. And he has been just a wonderful kid, but he's getting a little over the age of one in some months now. And he's learning how to get a little attitude sometimes. And he decided that he didn't want to sit in his seat. He wanted to go see his grandma, but he was needed to sit there in his seat, and he kept reaching. Of course, my wife, grandma, was ready to buckle at any second. It's funny, she never buckled with her own children. She was great at teaching them, you know, the proper way, but she was ready. When we're grandparents, we don't always do we just act silly. But I was so proud of my son-in-law. He didn't let him get away. He made him sit there, and when he didn't want to calm down, he took him up and he took him outside until he could learn that he was not going to get his way, and he was going to sit there and be a productive citizen of this society. He was not going to get his way and pitch a fit, but he was going to learn that when mom and dad say something, they mean it, and we're going to follow it. That's the problem in this world today. Everybody is getting everything they want, and there's no discipline. And when discipline comes, the world sees it as mean and hateful. But the truth is, without discipline, your children will rebel because they feel unloved. That's an actual fact. Children that are not disciplined will rebel because they feel unloved and uncared for. My son-in-law was trying to teach his child the right and wrong ways to life, and that there is a respect for the rules and behaving in appropriate manner. And just because you cry and moan, that doesn't mean it makes it right, and it doesn't mean you're going to get your way. It hurt my little buddy's feelings. It hurt Papa's grandson, but I was so proud because he's learning the difference between right and wrong. This is exactly how our Heavenly Father is trying to teach us, brothers and sisters. And an hour, in order to prepare us for the craziness that we are now facing and about to face. Turn with me, if you have your Bible there, for a second, to John chapter 15. I want to look at verse 1 through 6. I'll give you a second to turn there. John 15, 1 through 6. This is what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I in the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So your Heavenly Father knows how to garden. Anybody who has listened to this that knows about gardening knows you need to prune your plants. If you're growing tomatoes, you got to get those suckers off there. They grow right in the middle. You got to pull them out. And sometimes you got to get in there and get a good hold of them to get them out of there. And sometimes it looks damaging. But what happens? Better tomatoes come forth. Bigger, fuller. But if you don't prune, the opposite happens. Your Heavenly Father knows and understands gardening and how to bring beauty in a plant. And sometimes those dead branches, folks, they need to be plucked off and thrown away and cast out. God is making ready his people in this hour. I'm sure, folks, you can go to any church in the United States. You can sit many churches. You can go find the easy way to the kingdom. I feel you'll be deceived, and it's not the real way, but you'll find an easy way, they'll tell you, a way that's just only about love. But I've told people often, you can love someone into the kingdom, and you can love them right into hell. But the truth is, your Father loves you too much to allow you to go the wrong way. If you choose to go to hell, it will be because you resisted a Father who did everything he could to save your life. The easy way leads to destruction, but the straight and narrow leads to kingdom. I don't want to go to a church or listen to a podcast or be a part of a fellowship or anything else that never challenges or talks about my sin. They embrace the world, but they never confront me, but instead allow me to sit there at ease. It's all by grace. Well, folks, I can tell you right now, grace is the sworn enemy of sin. And grace came to set us free that we should no longer be under the bondage of sin. Read the book of Romans. And when you feel that war going on inside of you, fighting against sin, that is God's grace. Because he is unwilling to give up. And so often we see that war when it's going and raging inside of us, and we feel like we can't overcome and we're being attacked, and we feel like we're just failing, and we don't understand that when we are going through that struggle and the trial, that is God actually fighting for us. And if you could understand that is God fighting for you and not against you, you can embrace the struggle knowing that I am struggling because my God is fighting to set me free, and join in the fight with him instead of feeling like you're constantly being defeated and that your God would somehow do harm to you, when the truth is the only thing your Father in heaven wants to do is set you free from the bondage of this world. I love this story. It's one of my favorite. I've shared it through the years for many people, but I often have to reread it again. A. Parnell Bailey visited an orange grove where an irrigation pump had broken down. The season was unusually dry and some of the trees were beginning to die for lack of water. The man giving the tour took Bailey to his own orchard after the tour was done, where irrigation was used sparingly. He explained to Bailey, "These trees here at my orchard could go without rain for another 2 weeks," he said. "You see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them. This hardship caused them to send their roots deeper into the soil in search of moisture. Now mine are the deepest rooted trees in the area, while others are being scorched by the sun. These are finding moisture at a greater depth." So I ask you, brother and sister, that are listening here to the Remnant Call, are you letting your roots go deeper? Are you allowing the great silversmith to refine you? Do you understand that it's so he can see his reflection in you, and that we carry his image not in vain, but in truth? The bigger picture of these trials are that the hand of the refiner, with care and precise attention, is simply refining you into his perfect reflection. You may not understand it, and I'm here to tell you, he does not owe us an explanation for what he does, because his ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than ours. But you must understand this, that his one intention is to do whatever it takes to save your soul, because he loves you. My brother, went through a lot of hardship when he was young because he was thrown out of a van as a little kid rolled over on him. Terrible accident. And that van, when it flipped and rolled over on him, put a scar also on top of his forehead. And growing up his whole life, he was so ashamed and embarrassed of this scar on his forehead that he would let his hair grow down so he could keep it covered. Well, as he got older, he didn't have as much hair, but he wears a hat all the time still today. But as he was older, I was probably 10 to 15 years ago. He was out riding a motorcycle with my parents and had a terrible accident on his motorcycle. They had to lifelight him. It was dangerous. We were nervous. We were praying. We were needing God to come and work a miracle and save my brother. Come to find out, the only thing that saved his life from his spleen being completely severed would have killed him was the scar tissue as a child from the wreck when he was thrown out of that van that had grown around his spleen and saved his life. That accident that he never understood saved him later. Well, about a month and a half ago, my brother calls me up. He was raised to know the Lord, but he's not really been serious about it. He's not disinterested. He just really wasn't never the most interested. He calls me up. He says, "Hey, man." He says, "I want to do a creed for my son." See, his little boy Luke was born premature, 27 weeks. He was our miracle child of the family. How he made it, only God did it. And little Luke, man, he brought the family to prayer. And even though he's 3 years old now, he's still a little guy. 3 to 4, I believe, yeah. He's still a little guy. But my brother said, "Hey, man, I want to do a creed for my family, for my son." So he has a set of things he can look at that his dad left him, you know, things to live by. And first and foremost, trust God in all things. He said, "I want to put that at the top, but I can't do it if I'm not doing it myself. I want to give my life to the Lord." He wants to surrender himself. I said, "Brother, let's do this thing." So we've been studying the word. He wants to get baptized. I've just been trying to bring him up and share the gospel, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And folks, I look back today and I wonder, had not my brother been in that accident, had not it saved his life, Luke would have never been born. And he would never be desiring to give his life to the Lord now. And all the trauma, all the fire that he went through was for one single purpose and reason: to save his soul. Because he wanted to make sure that his son understood growing up that serving God first and foremost was the most important thing, and that his father on earth cannot be a hypocrite and simply write it in a creed, but it must be lived in his life. And I hope to have the privilege here very shortly to be there with my brother, hopefully up in the river, I don't know where, but to go down in those waters of baptism. And you know what, folks? God's been doing that with my family all over. Crazy. People you would think that would never come to the Lord. Been in prison, all this stuff. God's bringing them home. And there's been fire. There's hardship. There's trouble. There are things we don't understand. But when we look back, we understand that he was there the entire time as a silversmith, refining us, simply looking for that moment when he could see his image. It took some time with my brother. But you know what? Our Father in heaven never gave up, and he will not give up on you. Your God loves you, and he will do whatever it takes to make sure you will be with him forever. This is Brother Frank on the Remnant Call saying to everybody, good night and shalom.
Trumpet in Zion, sounding on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in Zion.